All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Man, that was a quick week, wasn't it? Today's December 12th, 2025. And our top story this morning, as a matter of fact, it's my favorite topic to talk about. It's actually the reason why I even started this channel to begin with, which kind of like makes me wonder, how did we get here? How did I get here? I've been asking myself that a lot this week, but I digress. Silver, $64, and there was much rejoicing. Okay, we can kill the side effects there. Yeah, $64. We were even flirting with $65 last night on the COMEX. It just keeps on ripping. What's going on here? Is it solar? Is it electric vehicles? Is it data center buildouts? No, this is a purely monetary play. The demand for silver exceeds the supply, not because of some industrial buildout, but because we can see what is happening with the money. You guys noticed the Fed quietly started printing money yesterday? I mean, I was screaming about this on the live stream yesterday. The press just ignored it. They're like, oh, technical buy operations of short-term treasury securities in order to maintain in accordance with monetary goals. Yeah, we're printing money. And the Fed this morning, they're getting rid of their limit on the standing repurchase facility, the repo. There used to be a $500 billion limit, which means we can only increase the money supply short-term by $500 billion in a day. And the Fed's like, you know what? Why do that when it feels so good to have no limit on how much money you can arbitrarily print into existence on any given single day without anything resembling any kind of regulatory, governmental, or voter oversight? Yep, they threw it away. They can make as much money. They could just arbitrarily print $2 trillion right now if they wanted to. What's stopping them? You? Me? Nope. Sorry, they're just going to do it. By the way, the COMEX has increased margin requirements by 10% effective today. So they're already trying to tamp down that enthusiasm. We'll see if that works. I don't think it's going to work. Shout out to Bob Coleman at Profits Plus ID on Twitter. He's the CEO of Idaho Armored Vault. If you follow one account on X about gold and silver, it should be Bob Coleman. He doesn't bloviate. He doesn't do the whole like sky is falling stuff. He's a realist. So when he says they're doing a thing, pay attention, because he takes the emotion out of it. Either way, guys, I like the shiny. Oh, and by the way, keep an eye on gold. I mean, look, the whole reason for this big silver rally is because gold ripped so much last year in the first half of this year, and silver had to play catch up. Silver's kind of caught up now, believe it or not. I mean, that's $64. Yeah, it's caught up. It's pretty close. We're actually near the historical average of the last few decades of what silver's worth relative to gold. And just on cue, like right on cue, silver or gold starts to rip this morning. Watch that gold to silver ratio. I think both metals could continue running here. Also going on this morning, Broadcom earnings, ticker AVGO. Another AI disappointment. The stock is down big this morning. They reported earnings yesterday. They tried to talk about their order backlog. That's like the Oracle play, which is now no longer working, where you take like all of these total commitments from people to buy your chips at some point in the future, even if it's years down the road, and you pile that all into one big number and you report that as if like that's the money you're going to make. And yeah, never mind the fact that most of the people who have pledged or placed these orders don't have the money to pay for it, but that's a minor detail. Yeah, the market didn't care. I mean, this whole thing about backlog, this whole thing about remaining performance obligations, it worked one time in September when Oracle did it. A bunch of idiots bought the stock on that, and they're now down like 45% from those levels. It didn't work for Avago or for Broadcom last night. Also, their margins are tightening. If the demand is so insane, why are your margins getting smaller, Broadcom? Inquiring minds want to know. Also, no annual revenue forecast. What's up with no guidance from a company like that? You told us how big your backlog is. We've got $73 billion in our backlog, but you won't guide on your sales? That doesn't make sense unless the backlog is just arbitrarily made up. We don't know who can actually pay, and so we're not going to guide because maybe we're afraid of getting sued if we overpromise. But you know what? There's not really any legal precedent for suing people based on reporting remaining performance obligations. So we'll just go ahead and throw that number out there. Also, this is interesting about Broadcom. They are the first company in what's become known as the Google sphere to disappoint in any way. Now, we've had these two like camps that have emerged in the last couple of weeks. Anybody in the OpenAI sphere, anybody associated with Sam Altman and OpenAI has had a really rough go of it over these last few weeks. Ever since Gemini 3 came out and ChatGPT-5 was such a disappointment, anybody who's like hitched their wagon to OpenAI, that ship is sinking and they're being dragged down with it. But Google has done very well. Google has gained market share. Gemini 3 is viewed largely as a success. They've been using their own chips, and Broadcom is one of the names that's kind of hitched up to Google, and they've done very well here. Broadcom manufactures TPUs, or at least they design, they make the TPUs. Broadcom is the first name to be associated with Google to disappoint and see a big sell-off in their stock. I don't know if that's the beginning of a pattern or not. Maybe I'm looking too much into this. I am admittedly biased against all of the AI names. I wear that on my sleeve here. I've been pretty bearish on this whole space for the last 2.5 years. But that is of note that it's the first Google-linked company to disappoint. Now, we've also got an interesting report in Broadcom or in Bloomberg this morning talking about doubts about an AI supply glut, or analysts are worried about an AI data center supply glut. Again, do you see that narrative shifting? We went from insane demand, can't get enough, orders out for 50 years to we've got too much of it now. Nobody saw that coming. Now, the interesting thing in this article, they're talking about how all the demand for credit, how much debt has been piled into this sector. Now they're starting to worry that people won't be able to refinance that debt in 3 to 5 years. Now, has anybody wondered how the hell do you refinance debt in 3 to 5 years when the assets that you bought with that debt have a 3 to 5 year lifespan? How do you refinance your debt when the GPUs are worthless by the time that debt comes due? What are you going to use for collateral? They won't be able to refinance. All this debt's going to go up in smoke. This is wasted money. It is the biggest capital destruction in human history. And I'm just glad I got out in front of it. Remember, you heard it here first. Also, we've interesting story going on this morning. Cannabis stocks are ripping here. Boy, what was it, 2019 called? They want their headlines back. Cannabis stocks running like crazy, Tilray Chief among them. So what's going on? There is a report that President Trump is going to reschedule marijuana as a Schedule 3 drug, which would basically put it as federally classified along the lines of like Vicodin or codeine. It's pretty much legalization at the federal level. And honestly, like, it's 2025. Why are we even talking about this? Like, just do it already. Just do it already. And look, on a personal note, and look, the channel's been kind of quiet this week besides the live stream. I've been teasing you guys that I've been working on this video a lot, that I've got something big coming out. I hope it's something big. It's actually a big story hiding inside of a little story. It's a huge story hiding inside of a little story about this little bank in Oklahoma that failed a year ago in this little town that nobody cares about. Nobody even bothered to read into it when this bank failed. They were all just like, oh, it's another Silicon Valley bank. Yeah, we're this small. Nobody cares. I mean, maybe you deign to look out the window on a plane while you're flying over. You wouldn't even be able to pick it out. What's going on in this town, what happened at this bank, is much, much bigger. Nobody bothered to look. I dug into this. I've actually been digging into this for over a year. I just hope people care. That's all I can tell you. I don't think anybody cares. And as I've been working on this video in the back of my mind, as I've poured a lot into this video, I've spent a lot of time talking to these people. It's been in the back of my mind. Nobody's going to care. And this isn't even a video. It's a documentary. All right. It is a menagerie of scumbaggery and dirtbaggery. And I will be releasing that at 6 p.m. Eastern time tonight. And it rhymes with this cannabis story, guys, because the legal arbitrage between legal states and illegal states, I think, has created this CF in Oklahoma that's causing these people to suffer. So I hope you guys will watch that video. I hope you will share that video because I think it's important and I think these people need help and it's not coming. Also going on, we've got, what do we got here? Lululemon earnings, they disappointed. The earnings weren't that good. The CEO quit. They don't have a replacement and the stock is up. That's interesting. Boy, how'd you like to be the CEO of a company and when you quit, the stock rallies double digits? Oh, we just love you. Thank you for your service. Off you go now. Good luck. Enjoy your retirement. Yikes. Look, guys, the real economy sucks. Lululemon doesn't round-trip data centers, and so companies getting clobbered here. Also, China Ivanka is losing government support. That's like the last dragon over there in Chinese big real estate developers. The government was propping them up. Not anymore. That whole Evergrande China real estate collapse story, that never went away. First Brands, debtor in possession loan. That's like this big loan that was made after First Brands went bankrupt, where they're like, all right, we'll give you this short-term debt. We're going to buy up the company. And then, you know, like when we sort everything out, we'll own the company. Yeah. It's trading at 45 cents on the dollar because First Brands just keeps getting worse. In 2 months, this has gone to 45 cents on the dollar. That is how bad First Brands is. And how many First Brands are out there? I suspect there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of First Brands out there. A lot of money is going to go up in smoke when this private credit bubble bursts. We've got round tripping of humanoid robots. There's a 2020s bingo update for you there. Yep, humanoid robot companies doing the same thing the AI companies did with their finances. And another 2020s bingo update. Who had Disney putting out AI slop? Anybody? Some of you guys in the back? Well, we all knew that was going to happen eventually. I'm just as surprised to see Disney paying somebody to do it. That's pretty interesting. We have got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back on Monday and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this one every business day. Right now, the S&P 500 is virtually unchanged, down about 2 points here. Unchanged. No percent difference. Going nowhere. Glad we talked about that. The Dow is up 105 points, 0.2% higher. Again, very little movement in stocks this morning. And the NASDAQ is lower. Decent move in the NASDAQ here. Well, there it is, 100 points, 0.39% to the downside. Broadcom earnings are weighing on the NASDAQ this morning. Looking at the U.S. dollar, we've got the Dixie is up by 15 basis points here, 98.5, a slightly stronger dollar this morning, despite the Fed's best efforts to make the dollar worthless. Looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are higher on the long end and lower on the short end. Hey, I thought rates were going down. Why are they going up? Oh, that's right, because the Fed doesn't control the long end of the yield curve. The 30-year Treasury, 4.852, higher by 6 points and change. The 10 years at 4.196, that's higher by 5 and change. The 2 years at 3.545%, higher by 1.5. And the 1 month is down almost 3 points here at 3.663. And a shout out to my friends at Macro Edge, another one you guys should be following on X. These guys are great and they're hilarious, by the way. Macro Edge says the Federal Reserve has removed their $500 billion daily limit for the standing repo facility, according to their statement. Not QE is coming. Guys, this is on top of the $40 billion a month that they're going to print and buy treasury bills. The Fed has seen something they don't like in the tea leaves, and they are putting their pieces in place to attack some kind of liquidity event that they see on the horizon. That's the only reason they would go within 12 days from quantitative tightening to not QE, quantitative easing, whatever you want to call it, and at the same time removing the daily limit of $500 billion on the standing repo facility, which allows them to basically print money into existence to buy treasuries and then repurchase them, undo the trade a few days later. It's short-term liquidity injections. They are putting their pieces in place for some kind of liquidity event. And Jerome Powell specifically mentioned April in the last FOMC meeting. I mean, look, tax day, usually there's a lot of transactions that happen. Maybe that could happen. I don't know what it is, but there it is. This should be sending off alarm bells. And maybe that's got something to do with gold and silver this morning, huh? Check out spot gold, $43.40, up another $60, 1.4% higher. February gold futures, $43.75, up 1.4%, or $61.80 higher. Are we going to see $4,400 gold by day's end? I don't know, but check out silver while we're at it. Spot silver, $64.53, up another 96 cents, 1.5% higher. And look at March COMEX futures for silver there, $64.87, up 29 cents, or about 0.5% higher. Overnight, we hit a high of $64.95. guys, by the time the ink dries on these $64 headlines, it's almost time to talk about $65. I like the shiny. Look at this silver chart here. All right, when does it stop? I don't know. All I can tell you is we are right about the price target of this cup and handle pattern. When we broke out from that, we're pretty much right about what the price target of that pattern was. Where we go from here, I don't know. I could not tell you. Another thing interesting to keep an eye on is gold had been somewhat lagging silver as silver played catch up for just these last few weeks. Gold is getting interesting here. There's a couple of things that could happen. We could be about to put in a double top, which would see gold head lower. I don't think that's going to happen with the Fed printing. We could break through this resistance level that we hit the top from back in October, and gold could rip here. And based on where we're at in the gold to silver ratio, we'll look at that in a little bit, and that would support that. Or gold could be about to put in another cup and handle pattern, which would eventually see a breakout from there. Either way, gold looks good here. And here's the gold to silver ratio. We're sitting at 67.35. And that red line down there, right around 65, that's the average over my lifetime of the last 40 years. We're getting right to the point here where gold would start to outperform silver again. We have seen it bounce. Like if we zoom out a little bit, we've bounced off of this level before. After the silver squeeze in 2021, a GSR of around 65. We went a little bit lower than 65. But that was the level where gold started to outperform silver. I think we're kind of getting there pretty soon. But for now, silver continues to outperform and we're still heading lower. The chart's starting to look pretty good on gold. Either way, guys, I just like the shiny. Looking over at some of the other commodities, copper is pretty much unchanged here, up 0.07%. Another all-time high for copper, though. Platinum, 4.5% higher. Palladium, 3.2% higher. And oil is down 0.2%, 57.48 for January WTI futures. Looking over at Bitcoin, kind of where we've been for the last couple of days, $92,259 as priced on Coinbase. That's showing us a little bit lower than where we were yesterday. Keep an eye on Bitcoin, guys. If the NASDAQ continues to roll over here, I think we would see Bitcoin head lower from there. All right, let's talk about Broadcom earnings. Broadcom shares slide after investors seek bigger AI payoff. Again, the shifting in these narratives, man, things are just getting awful dark in the AI space. Broadcom, a chip company vying with NVIDIA for AI computing revenue, slumped after its sales outlook for the red-hot market failed to meet investors' lofty expectations. The shares fell about 5% in pre-market trading on Friday following unsettling commentary from Chief Executive Officer Hock Tua on a conference call with analysts. He said the company had a backlog of $73 billion in AI product orders that will be shipped over the next 6 quarters, a number that disappointed some investors. But Tan sought to clarify that figure, that it was a minimum. Oh, you don't like my backlog of orders? Don't worry, guys, that's the minimum. Why is it a minimum? Because I just made up the number to begin with and it wasn't good enough. So let's suggest it will arbitrarily go higher. Why not? We do expect much more as more orders come in for shipments within the next 6 quarters. So our lead time, depending on the particular product it is, can be anywhere from 6 months to a year. The conference call followed a dizzying run-up in Broadcom shares, and investors were seeking more clarity on when and how the company will get a payoff from AI. Instead, they got a vague timetable without an AI revenue forecast for 2026, mixed with some concerns about tightening profit margins. No revenue forecast, tightening margins. Where is the money? Though Tan said the company received an $11 billion order from AI startup Anthropic in the fourth quarter, he warned that total margins were narrowing because of AI product sales. Anthropic, they are the mystery customer, the $11 billion order. We were wondering who they were a couple of weeks ago. Now we know it was Anthropic. Much of the recent buzz around Broadcom stems from its ties to some of the biggest AI model providers. ChatGPT maker OpenAI signed a pact with Broadcom for its own chip designs. In another transaction, Anthropic agreed to use tens of billions of dollars worth of computing services based on Alphabet's Google Cloud TPUs. The latter components also rely on Broadcom designs, helping fuel investor enthusiasm about the chipmaker's AI prospects. And again, the fact that they're tied to Google here and Broadcom not doing so well. This is the first name in the Google sphere of influence to be sold off here on earnings. $384.68 for Broadcom, down $21.69, about 5.3% lower following that earnings report. But let's temper that pessimism, shall we? Year to date, Broadcom still up 72.3%. I don't think Broadcom shareholders are shedding many tears at this moment, certainly not if they bought back in April. Meanwhile, we got this headline: AI data center boom sparks fears of glut amid lending frenzy. Again, the narrative in the headlines, the narrative shift. It's crazy here. Two data center billionaires minted before anything is even built. A borrower seeking a loan for 150% of the construction cost, and companies that are using financial engineering to keep liabilities off their balance sheets. Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen? For the skeptics, those are some of the examples of why the artificial intelligence data center boom is getting out of hand. You think? There's a frenzy of development going on to support the AI revolution, and with it, an insatiable demand for debt to fund it. But you ain't got no AI revolution, Lieutenant Dan. There is no revolution. It's just a speculative asset bubbles. Some estimate the overall infrastructure rollout could cost reach $10 trillion. Congratulations, Bloomberg. You made up the biggest number this morning. And with so many lenders lining up to throw cash at assets, the fear is a bubble is building that could eventually leave equity and credit players facing substantial pain. Man, I butchered that one. Given the flood of money going in, another danger is that there will be less credit available when facilities being constructed now using loans are in need of refinancing in 3 to 5 years' time. How do you refinance a data center? Somebody explain that to me. The guts of the thing are worthless in 5 years. So how are you going to refinance it? What are you left after these GPUs fully depreciate? You're left with a steel building on a slab. Maybe you got some power generation along with it, but that's it. You're going to refinance that debt? You got 5 years to make your money back, and none of them are profitable. This is going to be a freaking disaster, and it is going to cause problems for years to come. There's also growing concern about the level of leverage, particularly given the technology may underperform its high expectations. You think it's already underperforming? In such a scenario, lenders may be even more reluctant to refinance, and companies would have to find additional equity or pay more to borrow. And they forgot the third option: go out of business and default on all that debt, leaving investors holding the bag. Lenders are slicing and dicing debt and selling it on to other investors, meaning it becomes more and more opaque, according to Vinny Nair, chair CEO of fintech platform TFIN and a teacher at the executive education programs at the Wharton School. You're spreading this risk through the system, he said. If there's a decline, I don't think we totally understand all the ripple effects of this through that credit channel. And some borrowers have been shifting the risk from AI data centers off their balance sheets using the securitization markets, where the debt is tranched into slices with varying risks and returns and bought up by the likes of insurers and pension funds. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Similar stories emerging in the graphics processing units that process the data. In other words, all the stupid shit we did during the GFC, we're doing it with GPUs now. The difference is back then, houses that last 40, 50 years were the collateral. Now we've got GPUs that last for 4 years. Oh, it's going to be great. This is going to be just great. And just remember, guys, nobody saw this coming. Meanwhile, cannabis stocks surge on report Trump seeks to ease restrictions. What the hell took so long? That's all I say. Like, seriously, why are we even talking about this? Why are we even? Shares of cannabis companies jumped on Friday after the Washington Post reported U.S. President Trump is expected to push the government to dramatically loosen federal restrictions on marijuana. U.S. listed shares of Tilray Brands gained 28%, while SNDL, Canopy Growth, and the ETF Advisor shares, Pure U.S. Cannabis ETF, were up between 13.5% and 32.5% in pre-market trading. Huge run in cannabis stocks. Trump administration has been looking to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug, a shift that could ease criminal penalties and reshape the industry through potentially lower taxes and by making it easier to secure funding. Funding remains one of the biggest challenges for cannabis producers as federal restrictions keep most banks and institutional investors out of the sector, forcing pot producers to turn to costly loans, alternative lenders, and also to do business with organized crime, by the way. Yeah, that's an important thing. By the way, they're talking about reclassifying it as a Schedule 3 drug. That's a big one. Schedule 3. That's like Vicodin and codeine, guys. I mean, it's basically legalization. It's federal decriminalization. And it took you long enough. Tilray stock. Check this one out. Up 40. Let's round that up. 40% higher for Tilray. $11.75. That is quite a rip. Let me just throw this out here, guys. There's always that fake news vulnerability, right? Sometimes it happens. The story breaks. Everybody buys a stock. And then a spokesperson denies the story and says the press made up fake news. That's always a risk. I'm not saying that's happening here, but just be careful before you go pile in. And speaking of cannabis, look for this one later today, guys. And yep, that guy in the middle there, I kid you not, he touches this story. The freaking Tiger King. How do we get from a small bank failing in Oklahoma to the Tiger King? Well, you're just going to have to wait for that one, guys. I have been working on this story for over a year. Again, this is not a video. This is a documentary. It's kind of a long one. There's a lot of information in there, a lot of research. I had to pull loans, property records. I just hope somebody cares. That's all I can tell you. I just hope somebody cares because nobody is coming to help these people. $60 million went missing at this tiny bank in this town where awful things happen to people. And one guy has been indicted. One guy who drives a Jeep Wrangler and has an above ground pool in his backyard. That's where $60 million went? Bullshit. Look for that one around 6 p.m. Eastern time today. I just hope somebody cares. That's all. Meanwhile, Lululemon stock pops on earnings beat and CEO change. This one, how'd you like to be the CEO when you quit your company stock rallies? Thank you for your service. Lululemon Athletica stock jumped Thursday after the company posted a better than expected fiscal third quarter and said CEO Calvin McDonald would be stepping down next year. The company announced that McDonald plans to step down on January 31st. The board of directors has yet to name a permanent successor. CFO Megan Frank and Chief Commercial Officer Andre Mastrini will serve as interim co-CEOs until then. That's how bad this guy was. He's out and they don't even have anybody to take his place and everybody's happy. It's like, we are so glad nobody is in that chair. Lulu has a strong foundation in place. Yeah, okay. Although total comparable store sales increased 1% from a year ago, in line with projections, comps in the Americas fell 5% from a year ago. It turns out when nobody can afford the cost of living, the market for $100 yoga pants goes down. That's how that works. And while Black Friday weekend results were encouraging, demand has softened in the following weeks, McDonald's said on a call on Thursday, which prompted the company to issue somewhat lackluster fourth quarter guidance. Fourth quarter revenue will range from $350 to $358 a share, representing a decline of 3% to 1% from a year ago, largely because of calendar shifts. Yeah, okay, blame the calendar, not the economy. Sales guidance is roughly in line with expectations for $3.57 billion. Earnings per share projections, however, are weaker than the street is forecasting of $4.66 to $4.76, where the range's midpoint is $4.71, below the $4.94 analysts were projecting. So look, Lulu, this is real economy here. We've done a lot of stories recently about how the real economy is garbage. Outside of Ponzi schemes and data center circle jerks, everybody else is struggling here. And look, this CEO quits. They post terrible numbers and the stock is actually up almost 10%. Now, why is the stock up 10% on this news? Take a look at the year-to-date chart, down 51.1%. That's why. This stock has just been absolutely bludgeoned in 2025. Meanwhile, China's last too big to fail housing giant loses state support. Banca's mounting problems are raising alarms about a $50 billion debt pile. You know, it's been a while since we talked about the Chinese developers, right? I mean, this is like your 2021, 2022 story. Remember Evergrande? Remember Country Garden? Well, Vanco was like the last man standing, right? It was Sean Connery as the last dragon. I am the last one, knight of the old code. Yeah, that's China Vanco. The bombshell hit on late Sunday afternoon. China Vanco, the last big survivor of the country's years-long property crunch, sent investors an innocuous-looking announcement about a $3.1 billion loan agreement with a state-owned shareholder. But the November 2nd statement contained a twist. Shenzhen Metro Group, which had given unwavering support to the developer for nearly 2 years, now set a cap on any further financing. It also demanded that Banca stump up collateral for its loans, including the $2.8 billion that had already drawn down. The move, which sent a signal that state officials were finally losing patience with Banca, set off a chain reaction that ultimately pushed the company to ask for more time to pay back some of its debt. Its dollar bonds have lost more than two-thirds of their value, tumbling to as low as 20 cents on the dollar. State-owned banks have scrambled to limit their exposure. Regulators unwilling to rescue the company have started making plans to contain the fallout, according to people familiar with the matter. Now, how bad could it be, right? When investment bank China International was called in to evaluate Ivanka's financial position in the third quarter, it concluded the property company was insolvent. That's according to people familiar with the matter. In late November, regulators indicated that the state would not rescue the troubled developer. In the past month, the company has announced plans to delay the repayment of two domestic bonds and skipped a call option that allowed it to redeem another bond earlier. It had tried and failed to convince at least two local state-owned banks to give it loans and pledged more assets to secure the loans it had already taken from Shenzhen Metro. It has been downgraded twice by S&P Global, now stands at CCC-, just three levels above default. The company's worsening financial straits come at a time when it has also lost its most vocal supporter, Jin Ji. I'm sure I messed up that name. Shenzhen Metro's chairman. He had talked about rescuing the company and even considered consolidating its accounts into those of state-owned railway operator, said people familiar with the matter. But in October, local media reported rumors spreading through the market that Jin had been taken away by authorities. Okay, that's pretty crazy. So look, this guy at Shenzhen Metro, which is a state-owned company, a state-owned enterprise, he's like, oh yeah, maybe we'll bring China Ivanka's debt onto our books. And the next thing you know, he disappears. Sounds like a no from the government. I'm just going to throw it out there. When the guy who's trying to rescue your company gets taken away in the middle of the night, it's probably not a good thing. The China real estate collapse is ongoing. It is not over. People have been trying to call a bottom in this for 4 years. Remember, they still have not liquidated anything. All of these developers have gone bankrupt, and all of these projects, these cranes, these building skeletons, they're not even finished. They're just sitting there, assets on the books of the borrowers who lent the money to build them. And they're afraid to sell them because they know they're not worth anything, which means China's banks still haven't taken any of the losses from any of this stuff. They're still just sitting there, extend and pretend, frozen in place, just like our commercial real estate market. Meanwhile, First Brands just keeps getting worse. First Brands loan hits 30 cents on the dollar as fresh rescue seen as critical. Let's not spend too much time on this one, guys. All I can tell you is First Brands is now a $10 billion collapse. When initially they reported this as a $2 billion collapse and said it was an isolated event and it was contained. Well, now it's five times bigger, and we have found several other examples similar to First Brands. But other than the fact that it has grown and spread, it is isolated and contained. Are we good on that? Is everybody with us? You guys in the back, you follow that? Okay, I'm glad we cleared that up. Look, this company, Marathon Asset Management, came in and loaned them a whole bunch of money in bankruptcy. They call it debtor in possession. It's a form of investment to bridge their financing, get them through the bankruptcy process, and then you come out owning the company. That debt is now worth about 45 cents on the dollar. It traded as low as 30 cents on the dollar yesterday. Debtor in possession loans are not supposed to lose 2/3 of their value in 2 months. That just goes to show you how quickly this situation is devolving at First Brands. But again, I'm sure it's all isolated and contained, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it. Also, check this one out. EQT cuts deal for 10,000 humanoids from a robot startup that it backs. All right, who had a private equity firm buying 10,000 worthless humanoid robots from one of its own companies on their 2020's bingo card? This is not an AI startup. This is a humanoid robot startup, but they're taking their cues from NVIDIA. Just give your customers or your clients the money they need to buy your product. Private equity firm EQT plans to deploy 10,000 humanoid robots to its portfolio companies that are made by a startup it has invested in. 1X Technologies, a robotics developer from Norway, has agreed to produce the biped units for businesses backed by EQT, the company said on Thursday. So EQT is using their own companies to buy these robots from one of their own companies. And this is what private equity does. They take over a company and they strip mine it. They loot it. In this case, they're going to force these companies they own to buy these worthless freaking robots so they can drive up the value of their robot startup and then hopefully exit that company. EQT is not the buyer, but will facilitate the deliveries, which could help the firm's holdings working in a range of fields from manufacturing to nursing homes, according to Ted Person, a partner with EQT Ventures. This can provide companies with a real unfair advantage to get their hands on it early, Person said in an interview. By the way, guys, just go look at the videos of these humanoid robots like falling on their faces. And like, there's a video of one, it falls over and it just starts flailing like a toddler throwing a tantrum in a supermarket. You know, oh, be careful not to validate the behavior. Just ignore it until the tantrum runs its course. I don't know if that works with robots, but I'm told that's what you're supposed to do with kids. They don't work. They're stupid. There was a video of these things giving out candy on Halloween. And, oh, congratulations, this $5 million robot that, by the way, there's, you know, never mind the cable that's running to a gasoline-powered generator hidden from view with a camera, takes about 30 seconds to hand out one piece of chocolate to a kid, something that somebody making minimum wage could do in 5 seconds. But, yeah, it's the next wave of innovation. Now, here's the hilarious thing. The startup debuted its home robot back in October, marketing the Android as a device that could automate household chores. Dubbed Neo, each robot costs $20,000 or a monthly fee. All right, so I exaggerated the price earlier here. But in a recent demonstration to the Wall Street Journal, the robot moved with the aid of a human operator using a controller. By the way, it's not a robot and it's not autonomous if there's a human operator using a controller, all right? That's how that works. It's not autonomous. It's, I don't know, human operator onimus. That's how that works. Faking their demos. That's what these big tech firms do. And now they're round tripping their money through it. And in the last one of the day here, this is a doozy. Disney makes a dramatic shift on AI content with $1 billion open AI investment. And as I forget who it was. It was one account I follow on X put it yesterday. $1 billion investment in OpenAI. That's almost 2 weeks of inference. That's great. Open, make it last, OpenAI. Don't spoil your dinner. The deal includes a landmark licensing agreement that will allow fans to create their own AI-generated short clips on OpenAI Sora using Disney's characters. Now everyone can say, I am Groot. Oh, good. The Walt Disney Co. has agreed Thursday to invest $1 billion in OpenAI in a deal that includes a 3-year licensing agreement that will allow fans to create their own AI-generated short clips on Sora using Disney's characters. Now, just to make sure I have this right, Disney is giving OpenAI $1 billion so that OpenAI could use its intellectual properties without paying Disney anything for the privilege. That's the deal. Typically, when you license something, the people you license it to, they pay you. You don't give the licensee $1 billion. But that's what this deal is. Disney is giving OpenAI $1 billion to create AI slop using Darth Vader, Mickey Mouse, and Moana. And here's the interesting thing, all you Disney Plus subscribers. Under the content deal, fans will be able to start making their own video in early 2026. And Disney will begin posting a curated selection on its streaming platform, Disney Plus. AI slop coming to Disney Plus. How you guys feel about that Disney Plus subscription now? By the way, remember when Sam Altman was going to get into, what did he call it, erotica? Are they going to be making Disney character porn? I hope there's some kind of controls on this. I don't know. I just throw it out there. But, yep, who had that one on their 2020s bingo card? Good God. What are we doing? Hey, I just want to say thank you very much to Douglas Hayen. Hey, Douglas. He says, it's the AI is trained on the creators. So will it be able to make something new? That is remotely watchable. That's definitely yet to be proven. I don't think, at least the AI will be creating the content based on the prompt from the user. So is it the AI actually creating the content, or is it the user entering the prompt who's creating the content? Maybe that's more of a philosophical discussion than anything else. Maybe there's no right answer for it. Look, the AI slop has gotten better. I mean, think about how bad it was when these video platforms first came out about a year ago. The slop is getting better, but it is still slop. And it's also worth pointing out that the slop is still more expensive than any revenue you generated from it. Right? Every single one of these clips that's generated on Sora, OpenAI loses money. And if you're a paid user for the fancy service, OpenAI loses even more money. So at the end of the day, okay, great. Disney's going to give them $1 billion, which will last them about 2 weeks. But they do not make money from this. So what are they going to do with it?
I don't know.
Also, I want to say, I think I clicked on the wrong one there. Thanks anyway. Hey, Giant Tiny GTB, thank you. You almost made me say it. Welcome. Welcome to the Melonheads. You guys with these names are going to get my channel flagged. Yes, thank you very much, sir. And Stranglehold, I don't mind saying that one. Thank you, Stranglehold. Let's leave the anatomy out of it. He became a YouTube member. Thank you guys very much for supporting the channel. Just a reminder, guys, when you're a member, you can use those monthly super chats for free, and I will read and respond to your questions live on the air. Hey, Nashville Pasta Man says, no guidance. Georgia got promoted. That's, I don't have any glasses nearby. Georgia with the big black glasses from The Big Short, right? How many swaps do you own, Pasta Man? That makes you a hypocrite. Yep, that movie, I tell you, we are repeating it like verbatim, aren't we? Verbatim repeating it. And all that stuff about like the structured tiers and tranches of the data center debt. And now just imagine that it's, again, it's not houses backing it that last 40 or 50 years. It's GPUs that last 4 or 5 years. Well, it's going to be great. Thank you, Pasta Man, for everything you do for the channel, sir. Gordon Guanu says, good vibes for the weekend. We're going to need them. Amen, brother. We are going to need some good vibes from the weekend. Guys, look, we're going to start the weekend on this video. I can tell you getting through this video was rough. There were some rough patches here. Talking to these people about what's happened to them, about how everybody just keeps getting away with what they're doing in this town in Oklahoma. I really hope somebody cares. It's the only thing I could say. I just really hope somebody cares. And I'm going to ask you right now, before the video is even released, to please like it and please share it, because I don't want to believe that nobody cares about this. This is like a bad Jack Reacher book, or even, God forbid, another remake of Roadhouse. Like, that bad. Thank you very much, Gordon Guanu. Also, thank you very much to Richard Bell, who says one word, MOFCOM, number 68, 2025. I don't know what MOFCOM stands for, to be honest with you. Somebody want to help me out? Let me know what MOFCOM is. If it's military, I bet you I got mission my text messages. Nope, I don't have them in there. So, sorry, Richard. Can't help you there, brother. I don't know what it means. Number 68. It sounds like a comic book. Is that what that means? MOFCOM number 68? I don't know, brother, but if I figure it out, I will get back to you. Hey, Jake's Custom Parts, thank you so much for gifting 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. I really appreciate the support of the channel. And by the way, guys, just a reminder, say thank you to Jake and welcome to the Melon Patch, all you baby melons. And may the odds be ever in your favor. Henry Rifle Owner PA. All right, you repeating SOBU. He says data centers on Planet Elysium. I saw it yesterday. Is this an extension of the Elon Musk's data centers in space? Yes. Sure, why not on the planet Elysium or Planet X? Why not data centers on the moon? Why not data centers on the sun? The energy's practically free. We're just spitballing here. I'm just thinking outside the box. Or maybe data centers on the Earth's core. We'll have the Boring Company tunnel to the Earth's core, where the liquid hot magma of the Earth's iron core will power our data centers via geothermal. And then maybe we'll accidentally reverse the spin of the Earth's core, causing the Earth's magnetic field to flip, and there'll be a great calamity. And then I just wrote your next 2012 movie. There you go. Thank you, Henry Rifle. Appreciate it very much. Hey, there's my buddy Travis from Real Estate Mindset. Check out Real Estate Mindset on YouTube while you're at it. You bonkers, brother, you. He says, thanks, brother, for always showing up. Hey, thank you, Travis, also. And thank you for all the work you also did last year when that story broke about the bank failure in Lindsay, Oklahoma. I appreciate that very much. You and Mitch also took on the issue of the bonds and the schools over there. Again, guys, I just found so much dirtbaggery hiding in that tiny little town. I don't know how they fit it in such a small town. There's only 2,900 people in that town. Thanks again, brother, for supporting the channel. Tom Dillon, thank you, sir, for the generosity. He says, I live in Oklahoma. If your report is what I think it is and it's compelling, I'll keep forwarding it to the Garvin County DA and the state AG until they tell me to stop. Too many crooks here in a state full of good people. Tom, it is what you think it is. That's all I can tell you. Right along the I-35 corridor, I'm amazed. Something tells me maybe the state AG is already looking into it. Maybe. I hope. A year later, one guy has been indicted for $60 million missing right along a major smuggling corridor, and the guy's got an above-ground pool in his backyard. That's not $60 million bucks. I'm sorry. I don't care how much you gamble. The worst gambler in the world doesn't lose $60 million that fast. Something else is going on there, something dark. And I found compelling evidence suggesting what it is. Look for that one at 6 p.m. today. Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate the super chat, and I wish you luck. I do hope things improve for you guys. Well, Welchco, is it Welchco or Welco? Welchco Services, thank you so much, sir, for supporting the channel. Says Jack reads it if you put it on the teleprompter. I'm Ron Burgundy? That's just an unconfirmed allegation that I'll read it if you put it on the teleprompter. But for anybody who didn't hear it, I just want to reiterate, Jack reads it if you put it on the teleprompter. Who put that question mark on there? Thank you very much, Welco. Appreciate it very much, sir. Hey, SHS says, would you invest in stocks like Dividends or just wait? I have so much cash. I'm from the EU, but don't know. I'm not a fan of gold, but stay in cash. It's not good too. Okay, so in the EU, I can't. In the EU, you guys have value-added tax on bullion, and honestly, I have no experience with that. But from what I understand, it's severe, and it does put a dent in the ownership case for gold. Dividend stocks, what I can tell you is if we are heading for a liquidity event and a deflationary event, which all of our economies are in recession and the debt has started to go bad and the Fed is putting pieces in place to print money when it happens, there will be a window, I think, probably soon where dividend stocks will go on sale. And I think that will be a good opportunity. And then, of course, the Fed will spin up the money printers again, rinse, repeat this stupid cycle. So, you know, the one dent in that case is if it's the big one, which maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if it is the big one, then the dip buyers are going to get wiped out along with everybody else because it's going to dip and it's going to keep dipping. I don't know if this is the big one or if this is just like 2020, where it looks like the big one, but they print enough money to rinse, repeat the cycle. And in two or three more years, we go through it again. But I could say I do have my eyes on a couple of companies. One that I don't own, but it's interesting. I've been looking into it is Hormel. Hormel Foods is a name I've been looking at. They pay a nice dividend. I'm not sure that dividend is safe, but the stock has been beaten down rather substantially recently. So look, chili and beans, that's the kind of stuff people eat in a recession. And so it's one of those recession-proof names. So a name like that is something that I'm looking at. I don't own that name, but it's just one I'm looking into. Thank you very much, SHS, for supporting the channel. Steve Canyon says, thanks, I care. Thank you very much, Steve. I care too. All right, Luke Skywalker, I care. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope there's more Steve Canyons out there. I really do. And again, you know, this is a town nobody cared about. When this bank failed, nobody cared about. None of the journalists cared enough to look into what happened. The vice president at this bank unalived himself 2 weeks before it failed. And nobody even noticed when the bank failed that had happened. It's amazing to me. Amazing. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate the super chat, sir. Levi Bowles, thank you, sir, says nobody at 6. Can't wait. That's right, folks. Put it on your calendar. 6 p.m. Eastern time today. We're going to call it a documentary. My documentary on what's going on in this little town in Oklahoma and this little bank and what I think might be causing it. 6 p.m. Eastern time. Mark your calendars, folks. Thank you, Levi. I appreciate that. Formula 19 says, what would your investments be, where and why in a theoretical scenario if the entire Middle East was no longer a producer of oil and gas, meaning non-existent due to global geocatastrophe? Well, in that case, you would want to own oil, gas, and mineral rights domestically here in the United States. You want to own what's under the land in a place where there's oil and gas here in the States if the Middle East goes kablooey. Marcellus Shale, Utica Shale, Permian Basin. What is it? The Bakken Field. What do they call the one in Montana? Bakken something. Baka Baka. Yeah. In that scenario, that's what you want to own. All right. You want to own the minerals under the ground. If you're going to go through with something like that, and again, guys, talk to a professional before you do anything. Do a really good title search. Make sure you got clean claim to those underground rights. Just because you buy property doesn't mean you own what's underneath it. Pay the money for a good lawyer and a good title agent to make sure you get what's underneath if that's your goal. Thank you very much, Formula, for supporting the channel. That is a very good question, sir. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads. Remember, 6 p.m. Eastern time today. Look out for that documentary on what's going on with that tiny bank in that tiny town. Also, 2 p.m. Eastern time today is my get-together with my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon, Zoom, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below, should you feel so inclined. Thank you, guys, for all the support and super chats. I appreciate that very much. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out. See you guys at 6 p.m. today. Hope somebody cares. That's all I can say. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Till next time, live small and dream big.